A very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is our Sunday class, 23rd August 2020. As usual, we will be following the book, The Path to Truth, for modern day Bodhisattva practitioner. We are at page 133, the chapter on global warming and carbon footprint, maintains some form of attention, then develop the faith, compose your mind, then we shall commence our sharing. Turn the page 132 of the book, The Path to Truth, for the modern day Bodhisattva practitioner. So this topic is very interesting too, because global warming is a major issue for our planet. Then they have come out with what they call carbon footprint to encourage people to look at global warming, to reduce global warming. So if we protect our Mother Earth planet, then we protect the environment. Then the environment will in turn protect us. Our planet has the environment which is part of nature, and nature has its own sets of nature's law, reality. And these nature's laws are very powerful. They govern all of happenings in this universe, including our planet. So if you want to have the good life, you must understand this universal order, the Panchaniyamas, that governs all of life and existence within our entire universe, including our planets. So when you understand this law, then you can develop the good understanding of living in harmony with nature. Then we will have all the good outcome that will manifest through this understanding. So as Bodhisattvas, as cultivator of the way, we will be sensitive. We will have the understanding not to destroy nature, not to violate this universal order or nature's law, especially the environmental law, the physical law of nature, the first two, Pancha Niyama. They are Uttu Niyama and Bija Niyama. Uttu is nature's physical law, physical order. It has a lot to do with science, like physics and chemistry. Then after that, we have another aspect of nature's law, which is the second most powerful, Uttu Niyama. Uttu Niyama is biological order. Anything that has life form or of organic nature, biological nature, it follows this law. That's why it covers almost all aspects of biology, biological order or biology. Biology is a very wide topic. It studies everything that has biological entities, including all the plants, the animals, the human species, all living things. Then it also includes genetics. It also includes biochemistry and other things. So many of these actually develops technical understanding, scientific understanding. Then later on, the physical law extend to even AI, artificial intelligence. Why we have the internet boom. So science has progressed quite far, and because of the evolution of science, our human society has also evolved and progressed accordingly. But because of our lack of complete understanding of these two laws, Uttuniyama and Bijaniyama, it has caused a lot of environmental impact or effect on our planet, on our environment. So in the name of progress, development, all this is happening. So as a cultivator, we need to develop wisdom, understanding to mitigate all this, so that we can reverse whatever that has been affected. Then the other three nature's law are spiritual law. Now this one, cultivator of the way, especially bodhisattvas and practitioner of Dhamma, they understand these three law very well. Where these are the understanding that they develop as they move into Dhamma cultivation. And these three nature's law, we call it the spiritual law. They are very important. First is karma niyama, law of karma. Second is law of mind, citta niyama. Third is law of truth, dhamma. Everything that can explain the way things are. Law of karma is the moral causation. It involves the mind, mental intention. Then the other one is citta niyama. Citta niyama is just the nature's law or spiritual law that explains how the human mind functions. And through that understanding, we can understand who we are, what we are, and how we function as a human. Then the third spiritual law is all the other truth related to the essential Dhamma or Dhamma that the Buddha has taught us. The Buddha's teaching is called Dhamma, and Dhamma is truth, nothing else. Nature's truth. But these are spiritual truth, which are very powerful. Spiritual truth relating to the spiritual teaching. All the essential Dhamma that the Buddha teach fall under this Dhamma Niyama. So as Dhamma practitioner, we are sensitive to all this nature's law. Then we can feel, we can develop mindfulness or awareness. Our nature is sensitive. That's the reason why we can actually feel them. We can actually develop the understanding to free our mind, to actually bring about great wholesome transformation to the collective consciousness of our planet. Then from our planet, we can extend to the universal consciousness. That one may be not so easy, take time. But the planetary consciousness can actually be transformed. And we can really improve it through our individual cultivation. Then when the individual transforms, the collective will transform. There's a reason why this topic is very important. Global warming, followed by carbon footprint. So now we will go through what the author has to share with us. Then we will develop the understanding and discussion accordingly. Okay, I'll read to you what the author has written. After diligently studying the root cause of global warming, scientists have concluded that it is mainly due to the greenhouse effect created by severe air and land pollution from human activity. is in the name of progress, the advancement of technology, evolution of our consciousness. So all this has contributed to global warming. So according to scientists, it's the greenhouse effect created by severe air and land pollution from human activity, which is very true. You can see the way human beings pollute the planet. He invented cars, vehicles, trains, even cruise liner, ships, fishing boat, then aeroplane, and many other machineries, including weapon system, modern thing, and each and every one of them emit a lot of carbon footprint or pollution to our planet, to our environment. The fossil fuel emission from all the cars, all the automobile and vehicle that we have created is really very, very highly polluting. Then all the industries releases of the carbon, they call it burning, all the thing that they need to use, like their furnace, their maybe nuclear plant, and even a lot of the industrial processes that involve a lot of effluents discharge into the environment. And not only man-made vehicle invention, even the food we consume, like soybean, palm oil, all those things, the production process involve a lot of effluents. Even the raw material we use for engineering purpose, for housing, for food consumption, and many other things. We created a lot of pollution, discharge. Even the nice tasty food that you get from Ajinomoto, you look at the river that has been polluted by their discharge, it's terrible. The whole river is like soap water. Then you can also witness a lot in the plantation. Last time I used to visit rubber plantation, palm oil plantation. Then I saw all the effluents that discharge. Then the human effluents also a lot. That's the reason why as an engineer we had to come up with this treatment, public health engineering. We have this treatment for effluents. So they got all this various type of public health engineering solution to mitigate all this and to treat all this effluents. So all this brings about pollution to the environment, global warming, and many other things. So like I used to share with you all early on, during the MCO, when the industry, most of them were shut down, the air become clean, the river also become clean. So there is a natural healing. But now it's slowly coming back. So we need to look at ways to mitigate all this. That's the reason why now certain countries, they encourage green technology. And they are phasing out the fossil fuel, the fuel that brings about more pollution to the environment. Then they are trying to reduce effluents from industrial waste. Then the worst one is, of course, the nuclear waste. That one take a long time to actually recycle or do away with, because they have half-life that lasts very long. So last time I was involved in a small scale one, and there was some atomic thing discharged to our land in one of the place I work, the company. I think they have this. Then they have problem discharging it after so many years. The radioactive count is still very high. So these are all the consequences of radioactive discharge. And there are mainly uranium from atomic centers and all those things. So the consequence or result of all this effluent discharge and pollution brings about global warming, and at the same time it deteriorates our environment and causes a lot of they call it pollution to our Mother Earth and planet. Environmental pollution is very severe. All the fishes or whatever life form that are in the ocean, in the waterway, will be affected. Your pollution involves the waterway and finally find its way into the ocean. Then sometimes the industrial waste is so severe, it can lead to acid rain too. And the amount of pollution, actually you don't take care, you don't do recycling, is very severe, very severe. Even landfill creating a lot of problem. So now more and more people are developing the awareness of all this. They start to become conscious. So Ziji also do their part. They do their small way recycling. Even though it's a small way, at least they are playing their role, their part. Then they try to relieve suffering, misery. Then they are also trying to like encourage more people to go vegetarian. Just according to them, if you consume non-vegetarian food, the amount of carbon footprint that you produce is actually very severe. So I don't know whether how true that research is. They have these statistics to show, but you can find on your own. So anyway, I will read on, then you can have better understanding. We continue to pursue a modern day life full of pleasure. Over the past several decades, lifestyle have changed significantly and the world population have increased rapidly. When Suzhi Foundation was first established, the population of Taiwan was only 8 million and the world population was a little over 3 billion. Now Taiwan has more than 23 million people and the world has 7 billion people. As our population has grown, the demand for food, clothing, lodging and transportation has increased drastically. To satisfy our craving and desire, large quantity of livestock are being raised for food consumption. As a result, our ecosystem has become damaged, creating a vicious cycle. Our modern lifestyle is very different from that of the past. Older generation live more frugally, using each of their household product over and over again, or recycling them to be used for something else. When their clothing were worn out, for example, they mend them. When clothes were beyond mending, they were turned into diapers. Today, not only do people not know how to mend clothes They even discard clothing that are relatively new. This continued to exacerbate the garbage problem. Generally speaking, our daily necessity comes from three types of natural resources. The first is timber, or they call lumber. We cut down trees to make paper and furniture. The second one is mineral. We mine metal and rocks from the mountains. The third one is fossil oil or fossil fuel, crude oil. We drill for fossil fuel from ground. As we know, the Earth's resources are limited. If we do not limit our excavation, we will soon exhaust our natural resources, and this planet will be severely damaged. When the four elements in the body are not balanced, illness arises. Our external world is the same. The body and the world require good care to keep the four elements in balance. We dwell on this land, under the sky. How can we keep this big home in balance? It requires a lot of people working together. At the same time, we must be alert of potential crises that will occur if we continue to seek only comfort and pleasure. In recent years, we often heard the term carbon footprint. This is the amount of carbon dioxide we produce as we go about meeting our daily needs, such as food, clothing, lodging, and transportation. We leave behind carbon footprint wherever we go. We contribute to air pollution. When we go from one place to another, for instance, we usually ride a motorcycle or drive a car if it's near. And we take a train or an airplane if it's far away. This vehicle produces tremendous amount of carbon dioxide. In our daily life, electricity is indispensable. We turn on the aircon on hot days and heater on the cold days. Through our many home appliances, we consume much electricity and energy. Generating and consuming electricity produces a lot or large amount of carbon dioxide and increase our carbon footprint. This is one of the main causes of global warming. To mitigate global warming, we must first keep carbon dioxide in balance. To do this, we must keep our mind in balance. Each and every one of us must begin with self-discipline to curb our desire, live frugally, and conserve energy. We truly have the ability to make changes ourselves. We can walk or ride a bicycle to work instead of relying on car and motorcycle. In addition, we can reduce our use of air conditioning and heating. If each household pumps out hot air and dust, won't it exacerbate global warming? As a result, we not only waste energy, but also pollute the air. Therefore, we should try to adopt a more natural lifestyle. Suchi volunteers around the globe not only do their best to improve the condition of the environment, they also inspire others to bring out their love and take care of the condition of their hearts. In addition to carrying out disaster relief and providing aid to the poor, our volunteers also actively promote environmental protection, instilling in everyone, young and old, that loving and caring for Mother Earth must start from the individual. It is gratifying to see that Suchi volunteers are diligently promoting the movement of practicing self-discipline, reviving propriety. Many young people have taken part in this initiative. A group of students from Tsuji University, for example, held small gathering on campus to promote the idea of loving and protecting the environment. One student who lived in the dormitories shared his experience with this initiative. He said that he used to have his electric fan running all day because the electricity bill was included in their dormitory rent. This inevitably created a large carbon footprint. Through our events, he learned to conserve energy and water. He also reflected on his lifestyle and made vow to recycle and protect the environment. Students at Multimedia University in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, also engaged in environmental protection. In addition to promoting it at school, they visit houses of nearby communities on Sunday to encourage them to recycle. They have gained strong support from local residents who work to sort paper, PET bottles and cans. But they give the sorted recyclable to the student. This is an awakening of wisdom, which brings hope to society and humanity. We must awaken ourselves and be more mindful of our every action. We should give of ourselves more often and not fuss over small matter. Every person has a mission. I hope that everyone can start by purifying their mind and then further work to restore the environment, to mitigate disaster. So this is what the author has to share, yeah, with us. So all this so-called recycling activity or measures to mitigate global warming, carbon footprint, they start from the individual. That's why the Tsuji members start with their own members. Then they do activities that encourage society and the masses to also come forth to help and sacrifice and help bring about lower carbon footprint to our Mother Earth. And recycling actually can help a lot. Instead of draining our planet Earth of its resources at such a rate, recycling can really make big difference. That's the reason why our next chapter is Love the Earth, Do Recycling, Recycle. So Tsuji, they have mentioned quite a few things. Then we have to develop the awareness of it. So all this need a collective understanding, not only the individual, the people, the government that governs the country, the industrialists, the listed companies, and also many of those who are involved in the whole process of society. That's the reason why nowadays the awareness of all this has improved. Even in listed company, there's a requirement for corporate social responsibility. They call it CSR. That one has helped a lot. So corporate social responsibility means as a corporate company, listed company, you have your social responsibility. You need not only to develop economic activity for your own profits and all those things, you must take care of environment. Then you must return back to society. That's why it's called CSR, Corporate Social Responsibility. So you can return back to society in many ways, in the form of donation, generosity, offering and coming out with the process of mitigation to reduce the carbon footprint, to reduce pollution. They're willing to spend on technology that are more environmentally friendly. They will do away with all the inefficiency of many of the old processes that we have developed in the early days. So all this can help. That's why we need more technical people, more engineers, and more good administrators and leaders who can actually develop the collective agreement to look into all this. In fact, UNESCO also doing their part, but it's not easy. A lot of their so-called mission, or very noble mission and very noble way of getting all the heads of government to come together and look at global warming, look at the various type of environmental impact, then they come up with many maybe good measures that can actually mitigate many of these things. But to really effect it is not easy. Well, not every country is willing to sacrifice. Most of them have ulterior motive behind what they do. So they want to have control over all these world bodies. Even the United Nations, not easy to run. Like recently, the pandemic, COVID-19, WHO also been accused of many things. And there are many countries who are not very friendly towards that organization. But it's supposed to play a big role, because this is the biggest health agency under the United Nations. And this is the one that can move very fast and advise all the country in a very good way. That's the reason why UNESCO has established this World Health Organization to fight pandemic, to fight all this foreseeable disease. So all this need to be implemented with understanding and close cooperation among heads of governments. But when you have leader who thinks in a very strange way, selfish way, then all this may not really work or function the way it's supposed to function. And we have witnessed them too. But we have to try our very best to evolve, to improve, and to develop all this. Never give up. We have good mind state. All this can happen. And I still have faith in our collective consciousness. There are a lot of great beings around who can actually help to tip the balance, to develop the evolution of our planetary consciousness so that we will evolve through and grow beautiful. So with that, maybe we will move on to the next chapter. The next chapter is loving Earth and doing recycling. Love our Mother Earth, recycle. So recycling is a very good process that we have to instill in the mind of our living beings within our planet. All of human consciousness that are involved in this evolution of consciousness, they must have this understanding or awareness about the importance of recycling. So I'll read to you what the author has shared. Changes in climate have brought about many disasters in recent years. Natural disaster actually natural disaster are actually caused by human activity. This part you may not understand, huh? But if you understand the Panchaniyamas, the nature's law that governs life existence, you will know. Huh? So when he say nature's disaster are actually caused by human activities, it's because we have all these five universal order Panchaniyama. They are all interrelated. Yeah. When he said it's related to human activity or caused by human activity, it means through the law of karma, it creates causes and conditions to arise. Then through the physical law of nature, Uttaniyama and Pichaniyama, it will create the effect. So natural disaster, even COVID-19 also, it has a lot to do with what we did to the environment. So all this is a result of human activity. The continuous growth of the world population has placed great demand on food and materials, including resources, leading to the fast depletion of resources in our planet. This not only accelerates the exhaustion of our limited natural resources, but also severely damage and pollute the planet. We must be grateful to the land for providing us with various grains and for nurturing all living beings. We must also show Mother Earth our gratitude. I often say time is running out. Each of us has the responsibility to protect this planet. We only had one Earth, so we must raise our awareness of environmental protection and mindfully conserve energy and other resources. Recycling not only protects the land, it also gives us an opportunity to create blessing. After something has been used, it may be convenient for us to simply throw it away. This causal action pollutes our environment. Collecting and sorting recyclables are also simple action, but they can help to keep the earth clean. Therefore, if we want to continuously accumulate blessing, we must make it our mission to love and cherish this planet. In addition to changing our mindset, we should also change our lifestyle. We must live simply and frugally. We must appreciate and cherish all things and make good use of everything or every product by using it for a long time. We should not replace old things so often, but rather we should reduce our garbage and sort our recyclable to alleviate the burden on this planet. For this reason, promoting the concept of recycling through public education is essential. When this concept reaches every household, everyone will pay more attention to recycling and start doing it in their home. People can first influence those living nearby and then those who live further away to begin recycling as well. Only then will it be effective. For example, the San Francisco City Council has invited Tsuchi volunteer to promote recycling by going door to door to introduce the concept of zero waste. As a result, families have begun to collect and sort out their trash, and the outcome has been phenomenal. 150 tons of carbon, sorry, of cardboard has been collected after the first year. Not to mention tin cans, aluminum cans, and PET bottles. Every year, the Buddha's Day or Vesak Day is celebrated in Malaysia as Vesak. During this festival, many temples sponsor a parade as part of the grand celebration. Before the festival, Tsuchi volunteer in Malaysia visit the local family to promote recycling. They also set up recycling station along the parade route. On the day of the parade, Tsuchi volunteer following the procession to collect trash and bring it to the recycling center or stations. There is a family of three generations that come every year to support the recycling campaign. The grandfather holds a plastic bag as his two grandchildren walk alongside to collect trash. They say that they feel truly happy to participate and their hearts are filled with Dhamma joy when they look behind them to see the street clean and free of trash. Everyone can help protect the environment. We should not underestimate the ability of any person. As long as we mindfully let others know the reason behind recycling, we can inspire everyone to do it together. Not only can the trash we collect be turned into treasure, but most importantly, our work in recycling helps to purify our mind as well. If we do not take the initiative to do such spiritual protection of the mind, how can we work to protect the planet? Spiritual protection of the mind means to always say good words, do good deeds, and think good thoughts. We must have the correct understanding in protecting our environment as well as our own body. We should not smoke, drink, or chew bitter leaves or nuts. When we do recycling work, we are exercising our body and mind to keep ourselves healthy. There is a saying, to stay alive, we must move about and be active. When we are ideal, we can be full of vitality. When we are not idle, means not lazy, we can be full of vitality. In our recycling mission, we hear many touching stories of people who have changed their mindset through their participation. We should try to find different ways to engage people and create spiritual pure land so everyone can purify their mind, come to appreciate their blessing and cherish what they have. I'm glad to see our mission of environmental protection has spread around the globe. Tsuchi volunteer worldwide are able to cherish their blessing and work to create more blessing. Sharing the same idea, they work in unity to turn trash into gold. Thus, a garbage dump can be transformed into a pure land. This pure land comes from our hearts. Once we attain purity of the heart, we can attain purity of the land. Conserve water and protect the soil. This one also very good. The modern city has become concrete jungle as roads and walkways are paved with asphalt, so car and people can travel very easily. As a result, much of the land has been covered. Just like human skin, the land needs to breathe. It is important to construct the foundation in a way that allows the ground to discharge heat. In all the Ciji construction project, we use interlocking bricks in parking area and walkway so that heat may dissipate. This also allows the ground to absorb rainwater to be stored underground. Water is the planet's life force. It is essential for all life beings. If the environment lacks water, crop will not grow, and all plants and animals will be in distress. In recent years, floods and droughts have been occurring frequently around the world. This phenomenon indicates that the elements of water is out of balance. Groundwater sources has been destroyed by excessive development. Mountains are tunneled to make roads. Forests are cut down to make way for arable land. To satisfy our appetite for beef, a lot of natural resources are used to raise a cow. A cow drinks 5 to 7 gallons of water a day. Think of how much forest is cut down to make pasture land. Countless ancient forests disappear each year for this reason. We must stop destroying groundwater resources. We must focus on conserving water and soil. Otherwise, when drought occurs, our land will gradually become desert of dust. We often hear about sandstorms, droughts, and floods. These are all related to the water element. We should never think that the disaster only happened in faraway countries. This crisis can also happen around us. This is why we must love and care for the earth. We have to preserve this beautiful land. So this is very true. Then the next part is promoting tree planting. This one is also a very good way. Taking care of this planet is our duty. We live on this planet Earth and we rely on these natural resources each day. Is there anything we do that does not harm the planet? How much do we waste at each meal? How much garbage is collected? Some people may think they do not contribute to pollution. Actually, every one of us is more or less responsible for pollution. The Buddha teaches us to think of the body as impure. The 9 orifices of the body discharge waste. As soon as a baby is born, it starts to exhale carbon dioxide, sweat, tears, saliva, mucus, excrement, and urine. These are all impurities. As the population continues to grow, the simple act of breathing produces even more foul air. When crowds are packed in public area, for example, the air quality worsens. Humans can only be safe and well when the earth is healthy. Forests are like this earth's lung. If our lungs cannot expel unclean air and take in oxygen, our health will be in danger. Planting trees help protect the function of the Earth's lung. Trees take in dirty air and releases fresh air. They play our essential role in keeping the air balanced and keeping us healthy. Trees also preserve water, and their roots help prevent soil erosion. That's why trees are essential for conservating. Essential for preserving water and earth or soil. In Buddhist Sutta, we also find teaching that advocate planting trees. The Ikotang Taragama Sutta, for example, encourage everyone to grow flowers and fruits, as well as trees to keep us cool. Doing so would add to our merits and virtue. In the Vijnana Matrika, the Buddha told the monk that the three treasures the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha are like three kinds of trees that need to be planted. The first is like a fruit tree, the second is like a flowering tree, and the third is like a shady tree with many leaves. We must encourage everyone to plant trees and take corrective action to create blessings. Planting more trees will increase our resources. It is also a way of protecting and replenishing the earth's forests. However, a tree may take many years to grow. If we do not stop excessive logging, how can we achieve a balance between planting and cutting? Therefore, it is most important to preserve our resources by cutting down fewer trees and developing on less land. Otherwise, how much land will be left to plant trees on? So this part is the author's way. In order to reduce the number of nature's trees we cut down, many of which are decade or century old, we must cherish furniture and other objects made from wood, and we use it in our daily life. At the same time, we should reduce our use of paper and recycle used paper. Eventually, we will cut down fewer mature trees and achieve our goal of conserving forests. This is an act of persevering resources. In the olden days, recycled paper are called coarse paper, and it was mainly used in making novelty paper money that people burn to honor their deceased family member. Actually, in any religion, it is sincerity that is most important. Burning fake money is not only wasteful, it also pollutes the air. This is not an appropriate act. Paper should be used to promote culture, document events, Paper should be used to promote culture, document events, and record history in order to pass knowledge down to future generations. When we appreciate and cherish each piece of paper, we are cultivating both blessing and wisdom. So this is their understanding and their small way to do it. But as the numbers grow, then it can be quite effective. Each of us should work like a farmer to cultivate the field in our heart. We should serve others diligently and cultivate our own field of blessing. Only then can we mitigate the impending crisis. Okay, what's the time now? Oh, almost 4 o'clock. Maybe we finish this one, huh? Then we will stop for meditation. Okay, recycling volunteers. Okay. Taiwan is a beautiful island. It can certainly become a pure land as long as we are willing to make it happen. It requires the strength of many to mobilize the public and educate each household about environmental protection. We should never let Taiwan become an expensive slum and or a garbage dump. Each of us has a pure intrinsic nature, but it became polluted or contaminated after we come to this earth. Therefore, we must first clean our mind before we create a pure land here. We should emulate Cici's recycling volunteer who consistently do recycling work because of their unconditional love for this earth. They devote themselves to recycling as a way to clean their mind. They make good use of their time to benefit their community and the planet while engaging in spiritual cultivation. Street and alleys are actually serve as spiritual training ground, so people can engage in spiritual practice anywhere and at any time. Upon seeing the urgency to do recycling work, each volunteer who are wearing nice suit will take off their coats immediately, put on gloves, and squat down by the trash bin to sort recyclables. Most people, however, cannot set aside their pride to do recycling work because they have not fully opened up their hearts. Once their hearts are open, they will be able to do it well. And these are referred to people who seldom get involved in community work, especially recycling. If you always work in the office or you are top management, you hardly dirty your hand. So it's not easy. For you to be able to do that, you must develop humility. You must be willing to put yourself down to the same level as the volunteers. The volunteers volunteer to do all this relief work. Okay, we read on. I once read a news report about a newlywed couple in Chongqing, China. On their wedding day, they walked along the street to collect trash and recyclables. The husband was very environmentally conscious. He felt that everyone should do their part to take care of this earth. That is why he chose to have such a frugal and memorable eco-wedding. His wife followed suit. It was truly a meaningful and commendable act. There is a Cici member living in Taipei who is an aborigine of the Paiwan tribe. She met her husband, an aborigine of the Ruki tribe, where she visited Pingtung. Once they got married and settled down in the mountain in Pingtung, the woman wanted to promote the concept of recycling and the spirit of Cici in their local community. However, she has reservation because she felt that she was not well educated and was a rather introvert person. Additionally, she was not a member of the Ruki tribe, so she could not speak their language. Hence, she did not know where to begin. Luckily, her husband was very supportive, so she was able to start doing recycling work from her home. After that, she personally visited each family in their community. She communicated with them using hand sign, and sometimes her husband would interpret for her. Her dedication eventually inspired every resident to act. and she gained support from the village leaders. Although it was taxing and quite a challenge for her, she still took on the mission to promote recycling. Most importantly, she wanted to inspire local residents to change their lifestyle to become Tsuji recycling volunteer. One must uphold Tsuji's 10 precepts. Therefore, she encouraged the local to quit drinking, smoking, and chewing bitter nuts. She also taught them how to do recycling work and cherish the earth. Now, together as a group of recycling volunteers in the mountain village, they are working with one heart, without concern of race or religion. They give themselves to love and care for the planet. This is truly remarkable. Oh, still got it. I thought finished already. Okay, now I see how much more. Okay, one more page. Yeah? Okay, then we can finish it. One more page to go. Doing recycling work is truly cultivating both blessing and wisdom. This is very true. Huh? If you do recycling, you are cultivating both blessing and wisdom, because you have the wisdom to understand the importance of environmental protection. So recycling is a very good way of developing the efficiency. When you recycle, you reduce pollution. Then you can make use of whatever that is recyclable for reproduction of new material for new usage, so that you don't have to tap the resources of nature. So doing recycling work is truly cultivating both blessings and wisdom. People of all ages can do recycling work. When parents are involved in recycling, they can bring their children to work with them. It can even be like a game for the children to play. Bodhisattvas play in this world unattached and carefree. Through doing recycling work, children can learn to appreciate what they have and not to waste them or to be wasteful. From a young age, they can learn to create blessings and not to be greedy. Many seniors also serve as recycling volunteers. Each time I see their rough hand, I always say, these are the most beautiful and valuable hands. These seniors have worked hard all their lives. After they got married, they strove to support their family and contribute to society. Whether building bridges, paving roads, or working in any trade, they dedicate their lives to contributing to society. Now that they are old and retired, they devote themselves to Tsuji's work and care for the environment by sorting recyclables with their own hands. People derive a lot of joy from doing recycling work, and this is very true. It also benefits them, both physically and mentally. Recycling stations are not only spiritual training grounds where people can purify their mind and cherish their blessing. They also serve as a place to educate the community and recruit living bodhisattvas. And this is very true. In fact, recycling volunteers are able to personally practice the teaching of thinking good thoughts, doing good deeds, and saying good words every day. They indeed lead meaningful life. So if you know how to apply Noble Eightfold Path in whatever you do in life, you are actually cultivating. That's why you are a real bodhisattva in every way. So Such volunteer work, especially recycling and all, you all should give it a try. You haven't done it before. I have done it before when I was young. I like to help out on all this thing, and I felt really good when I help out, because when you feel that you can contribute your little role, your little part towards society, environment, humanity, I feel very good. Yeah. Then I like to collect all these things for recycling when I was young. Of course, when we were young, we were also told that if we can collect all this and sell it to the people who collect this recycle thing, you can make some money. So in the early day, actually, I went around with some classmates, school children. We collected this, what they call mug can, guleng kong, mug can. Then also all this recyclable, nowadays you call 100 plus and all those things, the can. So all this, you collect them, the clean bottle people, including glass bottle, they actually pay you. But they pay you peanut most of the time. After you collect a few hundreds, maybe they pay you 20 cents, 30 cents, or I cannot remember. Really. But last time, 10 cents, 20 cents is a lot of money. Your 5 cents can buy things. But you need to collect a lot, I remember. Then at the same time, we clean up the environment. So these are the things you can do. But nowadays, the Cici volunteer, you can do it with joy. Well, many old people are there, and many Cici volunteers are there. And they are very kind, sincere volunteers. They do their work with understanding, and there's a lot of joy in them. And I can see other races also there, especially Indians. And sometimes Malay too. And there are many church volunteers. In fact, other faiths also, I've seen Christian going there. Then other type of religion. Then I also, I think in the early days, enjoy one of the discussion group. They have this among all the various church volunteer or helper. Then they, once a week or what, I forgot already, they gather up there, then they sit in a big circle. Then they have this discussion. Then only I came to know a lot of them were non-Buddhist. Quite a number were Christian and other religion. Then they can just fit in and do all this with a lot of joy, because the common understanding is 慈济, 慈悲救济, means compassion and relief of suffering. So that was the beautiful motive and aim. So when everybody has that in mind, it actually go across religion, it goes across race, it cut across religion and race. So you can be from any religion, any race. If you really want to contribute, help out, you can just join in. That's why in that sense, Cici actually set up a very good organization. They are open to all races and all religion. They don't restrict you. They didn't insist that you have to be Buddhist and all this thing. Okay, we can end now, 4:14, just nice. So we can have, after this, our 45 minutes of formal meditation, awareness-based meditation. Then we will continue your second session. So normally after meditation, we will have our usual reporting of meditation or Q&A. But Sui An texts me something today which is quite interesting. So I agree with his suggestion. So I told him very lightly I will convert this second session to do that. He said, some of these books that we are following is about to finish. Why not we have a new topic after this, he said. So he suggested the thing that I used to share with you all, Dhamma in daily life, how to understand the cultivation and put forth this Dhamma in daily life to benefit the individual to progress along the path of cultivation, then to actually let people understand how to develop the cultivation in daily life. So Dhamma in daily life, I think is a good topic. So many of us fail to see that. Like I always say, life itself is our greatest teacher. We can learn from life. Because to be a living being, to be an individual, we have to interact, we have to have relationship. We have to have relationship with fellow living beings, human beings, with the environment, with society, with many, many things. So life itself is where the training ground is. It is from life that we can develop much experience in life. And with the Dhamma, if you know how to apply them, you can be a blessing to all. Then Dhamma in daily life can bring about great transformation when you understand. So all the beautiful mind state that Dhamma practitioners are supposed to cultivate and develop come from understanding through life. So you cannot have the good life while living life means you don't have the Dhamma. If you don't have the Dhamma means you have not really learned. Maybe you have a lot of knowledge, theory, but you have not put it into practice, materialize it, and you are still barren in that sense. You are not able to benefit from the beautiful teaching or the Dhamma that the Buddha has given us. So this topic I think is very good. So let us rejoice with Sian's good suggestion. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So maybe today I will start after the class. If there is no meditation reporting or any Q&A or question and answer, then we can start off with this topic on Dhamma in daily life. We can have it as a discussion topic. Then people can learn to speak out, express it out. It's very good. Then later on, I see how it goes. Maybe one of the Tuesday class or Thursday class, we also convert it to that. So last time, Thursday class is supposed to be meditation, then Q&A, or meditation reporting. But now we can convert it to Dhamma in daily life, so that the discussion topic is more clear, so that more people can contribute. You can share your life story, or your cultivation, how you really learn and put forth this Dhamma practice in daily life, and how it has helped you, let you understand life and transform your life, and the beauty of having Dhamma in the midst of living life. All this is very beautiful. Okay, let us have our 45 minutes of meditation. I will off the light. Then you can just relax, maintain awareness, then silence everything and develop the awareness-based meditation. So remember the four support. Relax, maintain awareness, 24 hours. Then the final one is trust. Okay. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness within that you have developed for as long as you can. Then you have to make use of this mind state to live your life. End up with a good religious routine to develop the daily mindfulness to stabilize it until your mind enters sati, so that everything you do is in sati. Then you can be in the state of heedfulness, which is ever mindful, constantly meditative. Okay, so today we will change the second session to Dhamma in daily life. You can, of course, as usual, report your meditation if you want to, or you can discuss this topic, how you can be active, applying the Dhamma, using the Dhamma, so that your life is lived with the Dhamma. And to do that, you usually have to have a good religious routine, a good understanding of what is Dhamma. So now we will open up. Maybe the first one I will get is Sui An to come in. I saw Sui An there already. Yeah, Sui An, welcome.
Hello, Brother Theo. Suki Hotu.
Suki Hotu, yes.
I was just looking at the Heart Sutta and some of the books that we are using. We are almost finishing the book already.
Yeah, yes.
And I was just wondering, what are we going to do after we finish the book? All right, so this is one point.
Yeah.
And then the second thing is I was just reflecting in all these books, the Dharma, Brother Theo's guidance and all that.
Yeah. So,
like recipe book, you know.
So yes.
Oh, I want to cook laksa lah, whatever. So you read until you're expert.
Good. But So
never been to the kitchen, don't know how to cook and don't know what it tastes like. So finally you go to the kitchen, you say, you need the serai or mangkwang or whatever. What's that? I know in the list, I know, but the thing is, in the practical situation, you don't know.
You must try out the recipe, like Sian say. The recipe need to be understood, then you try out. So initially, when you try out, maybe you make mistake, then you can share your experience. Then you can even consult others, discuss with others. Then during the class, you can ask me direct. Then you learn. But there are some who already have their past. They can learn very fast. Then they progress very fast. What's the answer?
What continues from this, for example, the five daily contemplation, is this body of the nature to get old, die, whatever.
It's very important, yes.
But finally, when we get sick, you say, why am I sick?
The usual habitual line of thought. We call it the habitual complaining and thinking, because that has been habitual for so long. So every time you felt your body sick or uncomfortable, then that line of heedless thinking will surface. That's why Dhamma is to change. Dhamma, when you understand, you can change for the better. Why must you go back to the old way? The old way doesn't lead to change. The old way is habitual. The old way is delusion, ignorant. The mind state is you already gone through every time, unhappy, complain. So whenever there is this suffering, misery, or sickness, disease, instead of confronting it with the five daily contemplative wisdom that you have developed, you react to it. So when I say you react to whatever that arises at moment of sense experience, disease and sickness is the same. The tactile sensation that you arise through your consciousness, straight away your memory, your line of thinking, your habitual tendency condition you to think negatively. You don't like that sensation. You don't like that sickness, that disease, that state of mind. Why? You must inquire then how to apply all this essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught us. so that you can develop the initial wisdom and free your mind, transform yourself, change for the better using this understanding. Yeah, all these are real Dhamma in daily life.
So, for example, you are learning to drive.
Yeah.
So you go to driving school, then they tell you, green, go. Yellow, slow. Red,
yeah.
Stop. Go, yellow, slow. Red, stop. So you get everything into your head already.
Yeah, the traffic rules.
You can practically chant it.
Yeah, the undang undang.
Waited at the traffic light for 10 minutes and then come to your turn, it was yellow.
Yeah.
Never mind lah. Then quickly you press on the accelerator, shoot across, look at the mirror. No policeman. So lucky. So in a practical situation, it's different from whatever we have learned or we have studied.
Yeah.
It is important the things that we learn, we use. For example, yeah.
You must know how to apply it, yes.
Yeah. So, for example, this, I think Brother Teo liked to quote this Prajan Yantra's.
Yeah.
It says,
his wise saying, the wise saying.
Yeah. Be aware of all actions and all the present moment.
Yes.
So, if you can do this simple line,
you already.
All action, all
you
movement,
will,
present
you
moment.
Will progress very fast. You can do that.
Almost like Yoniso Manasikara.
Yeah, Yoniso Manasikara and daily mindfulness into one. Yeah.
Yeah. And then if you keep on doing this, step number four, Yoniso Manasikara day in, day out, then soon you will get Sati Sampajana.
Yeah. Step 5 of Avijja Sutta.
Every action, every movement, you know exactly what you're doing.
Yeah.
And
because that mindfulness will make you sensitive. That mindfulness can make you aware. And through that sensitivity and awareness, you understand what is going on. You understand how you are conditioned into delusion. How the evil roots, the mental hindrance, how they arise in you. Then how they condition you into karmic negativity and how your karmic nature forms and how you get into trouble. So when you start to see through the direct seeing or the daily mindfulness, the awareness, you become sensitive to that Dhamma. You become sensitive to suffering. That's how you change. Otherwise you can't change. Otherwise it's knowledge. Knowledge will not make you change. Like Suyan say, hey, no police, then you dare to go. Because what you scared is not to violate the traffic rules. What you scared is police catch you. Like one of the members of parliament say, if you are not caught, then there is no crime. You cannot develop that type of wrong way of understanding in Dhamma. Dhamma is whether you are caught or no caught, the nature's law record, mental intention is primary. So the primary understanding of cultivation is the mental intention behind. That's why the mental intention behind constitutes karma. The Buddha said, it is chitena that I call karma. So it's not a matter of whether people know or not, whether police is around or not. Nature's law record. They no need to check. That's why sincerity, faith, understanding is very, very important. Virtue is very, very important. So when it comes to cultivation, it is the silent mind, the daily mindfulness. If you cannot get that right, you can't see. You are as good as blind. Then everything I share with you can only become knowledge to you. That is the fact. And if you cannot see that, you cannot progress, really. That's why this brings for a very good condition for sharing what Suyan mentioned, that daily mindfulness, we choose aware every action, every movement in the present moment. When you can be aware this way, your daily mindfulness will come. You will become transformed. You will become sensitive. Then you can see many things that you never see before. Then you can become like Po Cheng later on. When you go into the formal meditation, suddenly the shift of consciousness will come. Then the awareness nature you will be able to be aware of it. Then from there, when you are able to stabilize it, then that nature become a part of you. The mind enters sati. Then when she come out of the formal meditation, the daily mindfulness become automatic because she has done it earlier on. The bowing, the daily mindfulness, the five daily contemplation, the religious routine, all this, she has already done it, determined everything. Then when she is in that state of mindfulness, then with that initial wisdom, which is yoniso manasikara, like Sri An mentioned, after listening to Dhamma, hearing the Dhamma, reflection, contemplation, then in the daily life he observed. Then when she observed, she realized amazingly, no need to do anything. The mind just can see all this. How she become afflicted, how she was conditioned into, then she realized that is delusion. Who will ever do it? That one transform her because it's like she can stop it. Yeah, she can be at the moment of feeling, at the moment of sankara, at the moment of that movement, that activity of mind, that stirring and reaction. Then if the understanding, which is yoniso manasikara, understand, free her, then she can stop all this movement. All this movement, like no more power over her. Yeah, she like decide what she wants to do, her life. She's in control now because of the initial wisdom and the daily mindfulness that is sensitive and has the ability to see them. That's how you cultivate. Not through knowledge. Through knowledge, you cannot understand. You cannot see. So this part is very important. Suyang got it right. The daily mindfulness. We choose aware all action, all movement in the present. It's very simple. One sentence. You can do it, you hit the nail on the head, and your daily mindfulness will stabilize. Because it's not easy to be mindful of every action, every movement in the present moment. For you to do that, you really need to stabilize the daily mindfulness. That's why when I started with that firm determination, within 2 weeks, that daily mindfulness came. And when it came, my form and my soul, then I realized this is sati without thought. The mind becomes different. That's the reason why it is so powerful, so amazing, so transformative. So all this sharing, like Suyan said, they are the gem. They are like various type of recipe that you need. And these are saying that can actually give you the pointer to awaken, to realize. Because these come from cultivator who has gone through it. Then even the word of wisdom that Acharyantra used to say, the moment I hear, I develop wisdom out of it. He just says simple thing. We choose, accept everything as natural. Immediately, I awaken. It's like the Buddha's word. Whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions. So you have to accept that reality. We are conditioned like that, things be like that. Then he said, only mighty nature going by, rolling by. Which is very true. When you reflect, you can never, yeah, nature's law. Pancha niyamas. So these are Dhamma in daily life. But it is very powerful. It's very effective. That's why you must go into it with the faith. With the understanding and seriously commit yourself to do it. Then when you transform, we can, like Dhamma friend, discuss it. There is a lot of joy, a lot of meaning. So you should thank Suyan for the good condition. Huh? Let us begin.
Yeah, I just wanted to say one more thing. So from the unique codes, for example, the short your code is code number 7.
Yeah, yeah.
Meditation must be done with understanding.
Ah, that one is very important.
Very, very short, but then it's very, very important.
Yes.
I got friends that he meditated for 15 years.
Yeah, never and understood what he's doing.
What have you learned? He said, I don't see anything.
Yeah, like Ananda earlier on, you remember? Nothing. I don't see anything. I don't experience anything. So because you don't know what is meditation. So when you don't know what is meditation, how can you develop it? You can't. That's why you need to have the understanding to keep you focused, to keep you strongly onto the cultivation, so that you will not deviate. Otherwise, you become gullible. People say, note this, note that, you go and do. People say, use this method, use this technique. This is vipassana. Then you become gullible. Oh, then this one who do this method become arahant. He or he's already an arahant. Then you become gullible. Oh, just because he do this method become arahant, you also want to follow this method. So all this is lack of understanding. Then who do? They never inquire. It's always the thought which is actively doing, meditating. So this is thought-based meditation. When thought is active, how can you be aware? How can you be silent? How can you be in the state of awareness to observe and to see clearly and to understand what is going on in life? Meditation is observation through mindfulness, through awareness, the direct seeing, before the words, before the concept, before the conditioning of the memory come in to interfere. So all this is part and parcel of meditation. So when you understand, you know how to do it. Then your inquiry will make you very different. You will not be gullible anymore. You will not meditate without understanding. Try here, try there, try everything. End of the day, learn nothing. And most of them try to look for peace, calmness of mind, good mind state, good meditation. Then they thought they can be in a state of like overnight enlightened. No. Inside is different. When you insight into the universal characteristic to awaken, it is different. It's not the thought, it's not the knowledge, it's the silent mind that suddenly awakened. And that awakening depends on the support that you have cultivated. That's why it needs the first and second turning support, stability of first and second turning, to receive truth, that to trigger of awakening. Because the third turning, bhavana maya panya, is the result of first and second turning wisdom stabilized first. Otherwise, you cannot reach the third turning. The third turning demands very stable daily mindfulness. So this daily mindfulness, which is sati sampajana, has to be very stable. Before that, the third turning cannot come. That's why you cannot have sense restraint. Step 6, step 7, then you cannot do the four foundation of mindfulness, which is step 8. So what you need is step 2, constantly listening to Dhamma, straightening your view, reflect, contemplate, develop the faith, then daily mindfulness. Step 4, sati sampajana, which is aware every action, every movement in the present moment. You can do your bowing, you can do your sitting, walking, standing, lying down. Then maintain awareness throughout the day, the daily routine, daily religious routine. Every time you wake up, pay respect, do your puja. Then mindfulness, you go about doing your daily activity. You can clean yourself up, prepare yourself for the day, then do your daily religious routine. Then after that, do your duty as a householder, even preparing breakfast, doing your house chore, driving to office, working in the career environment, while going shopping, while having lunch, having dinner, while having meeting, discussion. Everything is Dhamma. This is why Dhamma in daily life is very important. The only thing you need to be aware of is the daily life mindfulness activity. Means heedfulness. If you are not heedful in the midst of life, you don't stand a chance. And to be heedful, you have to be ever mindful, constantly meditating. So how can I realize that? I have to train my mind to be mindful first, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. If I can't do that, how can I put the Dhamma into practice? It is from the stability of daily mindfulness that move the heedfulness. Because when you are ever mindful, only you can use that mind, which is ever mindful, to cultivate the essential Dhamma. Even keeping precept, you need that. Then cultivating Noble Eightfold Path, all the Noble Eightfold Path factor, you need stability of daily mindfulness. Otherwise, you can't see, you can't investigate, you can't understand, you can't actually cultivate at all. So heedfulness is most important. And to be heedful, you have to train your mind. That's why the focus is meditation. The purpose and intent is to train this mind so that it is mindful. Then stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then use it to meditate. Cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, leading to heedfulness. That is the understanding. That is the focus. If whatever you do doesn't bring you back to this, training your mind to be aware, stabilizing it to be ever mindful, and cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, then it's not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Then you cannot progress. That's why Dhamma in daily life is to understand all this. Then you will progress. So we should thank Suyan actually. Yeah. This topic is very useful.
Hey, Brother Tia, I want to share one example. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
For example, now we are going to take a bus from Kuala Lumpur to Penang. And then this bus driver. You look at him, he keep on looking at his handphone.
Trying to get the ways to guide.
Looking at YouTube and then laughing, looking at handphone.
Yeah,
10 minutes he look up at the road. It's all right. Then his head down again.
Accident very fast.
Right, the accident's going to happen very fast because there's no wise attention.
He's not attentive on the road.
His job is like what Prayajan Yantra says. Every action, every motion, we are aware of our actions.
Every action and movement.
Focus himself on the road.
Attentive.
If we look at the traffic in front, all that.
Attentive and act means you must be ever mindful with the initial wisdom to act. Otherwise, you cannot act. If during that time when you are attentive, you don't know the traffic rule, you don't have the experience and the understanding, you cannot act. Then accident already only you ask, I was in the wrong. I thought that guy was in the wrong. Because you never learn the essential undang-undang.
Like our essential Dhamma.
Yeah, essential Dhamma is exactly the same. Then when you get into trouble, then you say, I did it wrongly. I didn't know.
I don't know.
Because when you are attentive, it's the first thing. But you don't know the rules and drive, even attentive, no use. You will make mistake. Because the rules are very important. Means the essential Dhamma is that essential Dhamma is Yoniso Manasikara, the initial wisdom, the understanding. So when you have the initial wisdom, you at the moment of sense experience when something happens, you will not stir your mind, react and panic. Understand? You will not project your thought. You will know what to do because the Yoniso Manasikara will prompt you. People are just the way they are. The world is the world. And then you will not get angry. You will just avoid, resolve things amicably and move. And you move with skill, with understanding, and you can foresee problem. You can foresee possibility of accident and all those things. Where you are experienced, you are sensitive, and you have all those understanding. Then you know to go to Kuala Lumpur, you can go by many ways, not only a taxi driver or a Grab driver easy. You get him, he got a ways, then you can do your thing, then he will bring you there. But not every Grab driver are the same. Some have family problem. Some have immediate problem that make them fearful, worry, and they are not focused on driving. They got problem, mental problem, then unresolved issue. So you must have the ability to feel them, to understand them. If you observe that they are like that, then you say, it's okay. If you are not having proper mind state, maybe no need to drive so fast. Slow down. Then tell yourself your duty is you are a taxi driver, a Grab driver. Your duty is to drive safely. Your problem after you drive me, then you can think about it and resolve it separately. If while driving you worry, you will make accident. Like the bus driver that Sui Ang gave analogy. Keep on looking at YouTube, keep on looking at the messages. Then you will become lapsed in attention or awareness. When you are not attentive on the road, you are looking at something else, you can be heedless. Then you make mistake. Accident can happen. So all this is part and parcel of daily mindfulness and activity that is going on in life. So whatever you do, it's the same. You can be the taxi driver throughout the day actually doing your thing. But like the taxi driver, you never focus on what you are doing. You are never aware. Most of the time you worry about life. You panic here, you panic there, you project your thought. Then after that another thought comes. Oh, you say, I forgot. My boss asked me to do this. Oh, a deadline event. So all the fear, the worry, the anxiety. Then the next moment, alamak, my wife called me to do this, I forgot. Or sometimes you got girlfriend. Ah, you say, forgot to wish my girlfriend happy birthday or whatever. So a lot of all these things going on in your mundane thinking, mundane heedless thinking, habitual tendency, you are most of the time not in the state of awareness, silent inner awareness with clarity of mind, to be aware, to be mindful, to live life. So all this is Dhamma in daily life. See them, observe clearly, then understand, is that life? That way of projecting the thought, fear, worry, anxiety, endless thinking activity, sankhara activity, arising all the fear, worry, anxiety, that is not life. That is heedless living. Whereas a person who is a cultivator, who is a meditator, who is heedful, their mind is so different. That's why you can check from the appendix of the Heart Sutta. What is the mind of a cultivator? A trained mind. A trained mind is tranquil, ever mindful, still, with clarity, with understanding and wisdom. There is always joy, happiness, peace, ever mindful, constantly meditating. So you check, are your mind state already trained? If not yet, the obvious thing to do is to train it. So there are a lot of very important transcript and notes and Dhamma sharing that has already been given. Like Sui Ang say, the daily code, unique code that I came out with that book is also very powerful, very useful. Every other code is very good. The whole Heart Sutta book and all our other times. There are so much of this Dhamma in daily life, which is so useful, so important. That's why Sui Ang saw that and he texted me today. He said, maybe we should share all this Dhamma in daily life, which is much more relevant and useful. That's why immediately I agree. I say, yeah. Otherwise, everybody also very quiet, very shy, don't know what question to ask. Like this topic, a lot of people can talk about it, can share your experience because you have gone through the Dhamma sharing and studying for so long. Then some of us has already gone into the cultivation quite deep, quite far. So you can share and you can actually give rise to condition for you to express yourself and develop the clear understanding. The more you share, the more stable your understanding becomes. Because sharing is not you share and give to others. Sharing is when you try to express what you have learned and understand, then that sharing will allow you to learn too. Through that sharing, you observe how stable your understanding is. Because when you are still not stable, your sharing is like bits and pieces, not continuous. You say after a while, then you don't know what to continue. But later on, when you become very skillful and very good, from any topic, any corner, you can just flow, echo, flow, and move. Then your sharing become like the continuous flow of Dhamma. And people like to listen because this is real Dhamma that is very useful and helpful to people. And you can really, really become a blessing to all. So Dhamma in daily life is really important. Really important. Very good. Sadhu, let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. We pass back to Suyan. Yeah. Suyan, you can continue. Yeah.
We'll finish already.
Oh, very good. No, okay.
Actually, the point is, I hope everybody will... It's not difficult. What you do is you take one or two lines and say, this I want to cultivate this line, which means understanding meditation and what my understanding of what it is.
Yeah, yeah. And then the intent and purpose of meditation. Yeah.
Here you're very good at it, then you can just share whatever.
Then you will know what to do. Then after that, you can evolve it further and people can learn. Very good. Then all the topic or heading or title of the short video also is a very good guide. So these are all starting to unfold and create more and more beautiful condition for Kayamita to actually progress faster. Sadhu, thank you so much, sir.
Sadhu.
Okay, now who is next? So today, I think tonight I will have a lot of response. Come on, now you are given opportunity. Learn how to share and express yourself. So Dhamma in daily life, come, who is next? Anybody? Well, I have a drink.
Can I suggest Tammy or Karen? Because basically the sister or the auntie is going through some...
I think the suggestion.
Yeah,
okay, we make it a point. Whoever who share, like Suyan, has the right to appoint two. to be the next two who share. One also can, two also can. Tammy, where are you? Tammy. You hear us, Tammy? Tammy, are you there? Or Karen, are you there? Tammy, yes, you are on now. Tammy? Can you hear?
Hi, Tammy. How's your auntie?
Tammy, you are on.
Okay.
Hi, yes. Tammy. How's your auntie? And how's she
doing? My aunt, lately she have some infection like fever, and then today they bring her to isolation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but yesterday I saw her, I feel that she recovered a lot lah from the last time.
Okay, that's good news.
But I don't know why they say that she got some fever or something.
Yeah, if it's fever, I think the medical team will be more concerned. Yeah, they scared something else may happen. Never mind, you must let the doctor do their part. Then whoever who is like looking after your aunt, they will have to feedback whatever they have from the doctors or medical team to the family members or the close family members, so that they can collectively make their decision. So we play our role, accord and flow. If there is condition to help, then you help. But you make sure all these conditions are appropriate. Otherwise, it can lead to some form of unnecessary misunderstanding.
Actually, this is part of the five daily contemplation.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've been contemplating, when it happens to us, you say, okay, I'm ready for it.
Yeah. The five daily contemplation, I finish all this, then tell me you can come in. The find the lead on templation that Sri I mentioned is very important. Afterwards, I would like you all to come in and share your understanding so that I can help you all refine upon it and improve upon it. Well, if you really understand the five daily contemplation, it counter the first noble truth, eight reality. You can really develop very beautiful initial wisdom, first and second turning. Yeah, okay, tell me, just now you want to say something? Yeah, tell me, yes.
Yeah, I mean like five daily contemplation, it's like normally we read, maybe like we can imagine or when I'm old, I'm sick, and I'm dying, how is it like? But when you see like real person, then it's like different, totally different from the imagination. Then it's like face to face with the true thing.
Because what you share is based on what you are going through, which is in a way true to you. But you have to understand, Tammy, the five daily contemplation, especially the first three, is not about imagination. It's not about imagine when you grow old. Actually, it's here and now. It's to develop wisdom that this body of ours is of the nature to grow old, to get sick, be diseased, and one day die. Means what? Means this body is only element, goes the way of nature, not a permanent unchanging entity, does not belong to you. That's why it goes the way of nature. It will grow old, it will get sick, be diseased, and one day die. So when you confront this reality of life, which is old age, sickness, and death, you must have this initial wisdom that this physical body does not belong to you. It is not a permanent unchanging entity that you can cling on to, hold on to, grasp on to, and say, this is me, this is I. So this is the initial wisdom. So this is how it can free your mind. The body is karmically conditioned for you to come to this world. But it's not you, understand or not? But this one is dependent originating condition arising, causal phenomena, not a permanent unchanging entity. So if it's not me, I don't have to worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. But it's natural. Natural means what? Everybody is subject to this reality. Old age, sickness and death. As long as you live life long enough and condition change, old age, sickness and death will manifest. Even young people get sick. No need to wait till you are old. So this contemplation prepare you to receive this understanding so that when you are confronted with the sickness, you know what to do. You will not lament. You will not become unhappy. Project your thought. Become fearful. Then blame yourself. Blame others. Then blame maybe whoever who take care of you, your parents, or for not telling you. No use, really, it's no more reality. The reality is condition has happened. All age, sickness and death has manifested. So since this is a common problem, what must you do? Not only you are subject to it, everybody who live life long enough is subject to it. So it's a common reality. That's why we call it the reality of life and existence. The Buddha said if you confront them without wisdom, you suffer. That is the Dhamma. Wake up. So when you are confronted with old age, sickness and death, tell yourself, with this Dhamma understanding, I'm going to endure it. Because body is just a body, like Prachayantra taught me. Body is a body. Mind is mind. Mind never the body. Body never the mind. But mind is more useful. We choose take care of mind. Because mind is chetana, has mental intention, and mind is the forerunner of all things, like the Buddha said, when mind arises, all things arise. So we choose the care mind, he said. But body is important too, because we need the body to harmonize with the mind, to be at peace, so that we can make use of it to cultivate. So all this understanding will come. through the five daily contemplation, and it's so beautiful, so powerful. Then when I am sick, I tell myself, physically already sick, if I attach and cling, my mind become sick also. So instead of bodily sick, mind also sick. Why must you allow that? So if you can endure, means you do what you have to do. Well, this is natural. Condition like that, things be like that. So if you need medical help, medical treatment, or people who has gone through this before, ask them for advice. Discuss with them or check it out with people who have experienced this. Then they can share with you their understanding. Then also understand that you take care of karma, karma take care of your life. So if you have helped people before, then when you are in this state to experience the first virtual reality or OA signal, and then you will meet up with the correct doctor, the correct people who can help you. Otherwise, you cheat people, deceive people before, you will meet up with the bogus people who will also cheat you and deceive you. Then you will get yourself into trouble too. So this is coming. So not only you need to understand, you need to understand the law of karma behind. Then when you realize that you always meet up with the wrong people and get yourself cheated and what, then you must ask for forgiveness. I mean, in the past, you must have done a lot of all this nonsense. But if you have taken care of karma, you realize you will meet right people, right doctor, good people, and you recover very fast. And you seldom suffer, because suffering need not be when you understand. With the first daily contemplation, the first three daily, five daily contemplation, you can develop a lot of right understanding and wisdom. Then you reflect on the three turning of the Four Noble Truths. What did the Buddha say? This noble truth of dukkha under the second turning is to be understood. Oh, then you tell yourself, blessing in disguise. If I'm not sick, if I don't go through old age, sickness and death, how can I understand this noble truth of dukkha? So you will have joy. You say, now I have this condition. Then I experience that tactile sensation. That's like last time I used to feel it. Even that sometimes it's fever or diarrhea or whatever. I feel it. I use my mindfulness and awareness to feel it. Then I know inside a lot of things not right. Then I endure it. I know condition like that, things will be like that. So panic also no use. Reactive also no use. React to the pain also no use. You need to do whatever you need to do, you do. So that is how the Dhamma can actually help you, free you. So need to see a doctor, see a doctor. Need to consult certain people who has the experience, consult them. Then maybe my karma very good. My family is a Chinese medicine sensei. My father is a very good Chinese sensei. So my brother and my sister, two of them inherited his skill. So if there's anything that Chinese medicine can help or what, I will know. Then I call them up, they will tell me, then we resolve it. Then nowadays, Western medical science also has improved a lot. So I have my classmate, my family doctor. Then I know who to look for when there is a need. So all this is very handy and very useful. Then most of the time, I know how to handle myself. I just take care of myself. Then I recover. Like if I start to have all this sneezing and whatever, like I want to have a severe flu already or what, I know my body need rest, so I rest. Then I sleep early, I recover the next day. So all this is understanding. Then I endure them. When I endure them, I felt joy. Body can be sick, but the mind did not get sick. The mind was never sick. I can even silence my mind and be with that you all call uncomfortable feeling, painful feeling. or that type of eerie feeling. But I can just silence my mind and be with it. Then I endure, I understand. So these are part of nature's condition. So nature's condition need wisdom to understand, endure, accord and flow. Then it will come to pass, because condition is such, when the appropriate condition arise, it will come to pass. So nothing to worry, nothing to be fearful. And nowadays, our society, especially our civilization, there are so much medical possibility. Our medical science has improved tremendously. Then also what they call TCM, traditional Chinese medicine, also has improved so much. Then we also have a lot of nowadays good supplements and all those things that can help people recover. Then there are many other scientific understanding that can be very useful under our civilization and era. So no need to worry. But the five daily contemplation is very deep, not what you think, not to imagine. No, you have to go through it like what I explained just now. And when you understand, the first noble truth reality cannot have any power over you. You cannot be afflicted at all. You cannot become affected at all, not to say afflicted. So we have gone through birth, old age, sickness and death, okay? Then separation also same. The fourth daily contemplation. Whatever we own, possess, or hold on to, these are all conditioned arising entity. It doesn't really belong to you. When condition is there, it arises. When condition ceases to be, it ceases to be. So separation is a reality. When condition ceases to be, things will separate from you. So your loved one, your prized possession, your property, your wealth, whatever you hold on to, they don't really belong to you. Because even your form and mind doesn't belong to you. This is dependent originating, not a permanent and unchanging entity. So how can it own things? Well, its entity itself is impermanent. So how can an entity that is impermanent own anything? Because even that body doesn't belong to you. So see it. Separation is a reality. So when you are confronted with this reality of separation, whether it's the death of a loved one or relationship breakdown, or separation due to calamity or whatever, accept the reality. Yeah, this is the reality. Happened already, like the Buddha said. Whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions. And mainly it's karma, because the Buddha said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of karma. So when you understand this, this fifth reality cannot affect you at all. And you know how to take care of your life, you will have the good life. Then you understand life is about understanding. When I understand the Dhamma, I have the good life. Because when I understand Dhamma, I understand life. If I don't understand Dhamma, I don't understand life. Because Dhamma is truth. The nature's law that governs life and existence. So all these are beautiful, related. So if we understand all this clearly, our life becomes beautiful. Then the number six condition, when we are with people whom we don't like. Number seven, when we are not able to get what we want. Expectations in life are not met. So all this will have no power over you. Because you have reflected, contemplated through the second turning. Why did the Buddha say birth, old age, sickness and death is dukkha? Separation is dukkha. When I'm with people whom I don't like is dukkha. When things don't go your way, my way is dukkha. That in short is the five aggregates of grasping that I call dukkha. So reflect on it, contemplate on it, and inquire, why did the Buddha say this? And then when you start to develop the investigation through this inquiry, your second turning wisdom, Yonisoma Manaskara, stabilize. Then when you confront them in life, no more problem. That's why for the last 34 years, I got no more problem. Life is just beautiful. With the understanding, you just live. And it's so beautiful. It's like meant to be. So blessed. Everything goes your way. And life really wonderful, meaningful, beautiful. And this is what Dhamma is all about. Dhamma in daily life. Okay? So, Tammy, hope you understand. Huh? Go deeper into it, the five daily contemplation. Okay? Mm.
Thank you very much, Pastor.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah,
so. You...
One thing I want to share is that when the late Chief Reverend,
yes,
the doctor told him he has cancer.
Yeah.
Then he laughed.
Yeah, he laughed.
The doctor said, hey,
that is
wrong?
A wise person. Yeah.
He said, what's wrong? You're having cancer. He said,
yeah, no problem. He will laugh. In fact, when I was sick, I laughed. I rejoiced because I have the condition to experience them. In the past, before I have this Dhamma understanding, before the, all this stabilized, I don't have the condition to really confront it and understand it. Then when I have the understanding, I can really confront it and develop the understanding. And it was so beautiful. That's why I share with you all on many occasions after I have discovered the Dhamma. When there was one day my wife forgot to put sugar into the coffee. I drank. I laughed. Most people would have reacted and scolded. Why you don't even put coffee here? No, I laughed. Then I told my wife, I said, you come and taste the coffee. And say, then one day, that time during the early day, when I was walking in the public area, then suddenly got one piece of metal piece, very big piece. I think was, I can't see where it was shot, yeah? About 1.5 feet high or what. Then suddenly when I walk, I knock against it, you know, it was so painful, you know. But the funny thing is that the moment it hit, because of the awareness and the understanding, I was laughing, you know, instead of, wow, that painful feeling and complaining. You know. No, the mind understood. And just experience that thing with clarity. Then I just laugh. Condition like that, things will be like that. Because karmically, I have to experience this because this is payback time. And why should I lament and become unhappy or what happened? Well, what happened is the reality. Condition like that, things will be like that. So next time, be more careful. Be more attentive. But don't go and deludedly think that you are not mindful. Don't be gullible. Mindfulness is not like that. Mindfulness is awareness. When you are aware of something, you cannot be aware of other things. Do you understand? So, cultivation is not what you think. So, when you are aware of one aspect of thing, you cannot be aware of other things. Unless it's a spacious awareness where you have your awareness without a center to be aware of all the things. But you still can only be aware one thing at a time, although your awareness can move very fast. So all this must be understood. It doesn't mean that when you make an accident or a mistake, means you lack mindfulness. No, don't be gullible. That's why there was one kayamita when the children was eating food. They dropped the spoon, scolded the children, told you to be mindful. The children don't like the father. Then later on, when he about to do the same command or scolding, second time, I think, or the third time, the children stopped the father. I know what you are going to tell me. Wow, it make him so angry, you know. He said, I want to teach him mindfulness. He turned against me and tell me, oh. And someone he said, I'm the father, he's the son. How can he do that? Then I have to make him understand. Yeah? Not to say your son, anybody also will react to you. But they don't want to end up like you because you haven't changed. If you have changed, they will listen to you. Understand? But if you have changed, you will not teach them this type of mindfulness. Because this is not the real mindfulness. The real mindfulness is something else. So the daily mindfulness, all those things, is the real one. But not the traditionally believed type of mindfulness. That type of mindfulness, walk slowly, cannot make noise, everything. That is not really mindfulness. Go and find out for yourself what really mindfulness is. You don't have to slow down anything. Mindfulness is the awareness, the sati within. When you can have the ability to observe, see, be with the moment, then you will know what sati is. Okay. I think 6 o'clock passed already. Tell me, you want to say something? Yeah.
Haven't finished. I feel happy, joyful. Yeah. Then I would like to say thank you.
Sadhu, rejoice. So this is good learning, Dhamma in daily life. So I think we should thank Suyana for the good suggestion. Let us rejoice. Sadhu.
Okay, now is fellowship time. So we can share whatever we want. I want to find out from you all. The new suggestion, Dhamma in daily life, what do you think? Is it useful? You can just come in and share your feedback or comments. Anybody? Oh, I almost forgot. Kok Lun, yesterday was your birthday. Thursday. So, wishing you a belated birthday.
Hey, Brother Teo. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Sadhu. So you want to say a few things or not? What do you think about this topic? Dhamma in daily life.
I was just sharing with Christy this morning.
Oh, Sadhu.
Because we were walking at the park.
Yeah. You all were together with my daughter, Sui.
And one of the topics that we were sharing while we were walking was how we apply Dhamma
in daily life. Sadhu. That's good.
So we share stories among each other.
Sadhu.
And from there, we learn from each other.
Very good. So next topic, I think next session, Thursday class, we have another round. Then you all can share.
It's very useful.
Very useful.
I like that, the sharing. Dhamma sharing in daily life.
Sadhu, Dhamma in daily life. I think I also like that topic. So we should thank Brother Suyan. He came out with a very good suggestion. Anybody else? Thank you, Colin. Thank you for your good
feedback.
So a belated happy birthday.
Thank you.
For your wife's Tukato, very nice.
Hope you enjoy it.
Just nice, thank you. Anybody else? We have another 5 minutes. We have to end about 6:10 or 6:12. Pocheng, you can come in, Pocheng.
Yes,
Amitofo.
Sadhu. Happy Sunday. It's a very good topic. I think it's very appropriate.
Sadhu.
And I will help everybody, in their cultivation.
Sadhu.
Because in our daily lives, everything is Dhamma,
Sadhu, yes. Everything is Dhamma.
If we become very mindful, aware of our daily actions and movement, you automatically will cultivate, and then you learn so much, slowly you realize that you know so many things.
You have already understood so many things. Sadhu. Then there's a lot of joy, joy.
That's how we get awakened.
Sadhu.
So that is a very good topic. Thank you,
Sadhu. You should thank Suyan. Sadhu.
Okay, that's all I
want to
say.
Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you. Sadhu. we can have one more. Who else want to share? Ananda, want to share? Come in. You don't want to? I share. Yeah.
Anyway, I just want to rectify to confirm that Brother Teo mentioned just now your meditation. I'm still very interested in the way, so I'm also trying to see. I'm trying to get more understanding on the.
Very important.
Although it's like very easy process, you know, the relaxed, aware of.
Yeah, slowly. You will get it right. Yeah. You have to slowly do it with faith, then you will get it right. Huh? I think you are going in the right direction. So, the Dhamma should unfold. Huh? Don't worry. Be patient. Develop the understanding. You can learn, actually. Hopefully, when the condition arises, the time will come. Sadhu. Okay. Anybody else? Another 1 minute to go. Anybody else? Karen, yes.
Thank you so much for all your blessings and your encouragement and all
Sadhu,
your sharing. Difficult times, Anyway, I don't know why I just able to blend with nature and then what's happening.
Because you have the understanding, otherwise you can't. You can be at peace because you have the understanding. You have become different, Karen. I can see the joy in you when you meditate. You smile a lot, especially during the early days. Wu Ping Jing Se.
Thank you so much, Rathio, for all your encouragement and your teachings. I really appreciate that.
Sadhu.
Thank you, Sadhu.
So this topic, Dhamma in daily life, do you really like it?
Yes, in fact, all the time we are practicing it too.
Sadhu. So next time you can share, Karen. Sadhu.
Okay, thank you, Rathio.
Sadhu. Okay, thank you. So we can end, Thank you so much. So we all can say, good evening to all, Kaya Mita. So can have a good dinner, then after that have a good Sunday rest, then start your day again on Monday. Some of you may have to work, so wish you all the best in your working life, and better tomorrow. Sadhu. Okay.